Country Life on Midlands 103. Brought to you by W. Orshaw Burlington Business Park Tullamore, your main supplier of New Holland's tractors in the Midlands. WORshaw.ie.
Good evening and welcome to Country Life here on Midlands 103. MJ Cleary with you for the next hour, bringing you the latest from the Midlands and further afield from the worlds of agriculture, food and agribusiness. Now, mixed weather over the last few days, and since I was speaking to you last, and look, rain is the last thing we want at this time of the year, coming to the end of the grazing season. The weather is given as changeable for the next few days. But there is mild weather on the horizon. Early days of next week, actually, looking up to be in the mid-teens. So fingers crossed, not too much rain. A little bit of mildness and kindness like that will be very glad. We will be very glad of, I should say. So hopefully the rain will stay at bay. Now, on to this evening's programme. And Offaly man Tomás Russell, who works in UCD, has been involved in a study on farmer mental health in Ireland. So as you will know, we often cover mental health here on the programme, the same as we cover physical health, as they are one and the same. But this study has some seriously stark findings. And the headline is that 23.4% of farmers are considered at risk for suicide. Yes, almost one in four. So it's a very worrying figure. And what is behind it? Well, unsurprisingly, government policy to reduce climate change is one of the biggest factors. And as I said, absolutely no surprise there. The government dancing to the European beat while farmers on the ground are contemplating taking their own lives as a result. It shows how far removed policymakers are from what's happening on the ground. And we'll speak in greater detail about this hugely important research a little later in the hour. On the topic of Irish wool and its lack of value, Minister Hackett commissioned a feasibility study which set the taxpayer back €100,000 a number of months ago. And according to Kevin Comiskey from the IFA, it simply told everyone what they already knew and nothing has been done since. Kevin was in England last week, where farmers are receiving a stronger price for their wool as a result of the British Wool brand, which was established a number of years back. And it sees better quality wool going into high value products such as clothes. I'll be speaking to Kevin later to see what we could take on board here from our neighbours across the water. Chagas have their national pig conference next week, and with the average pig farmer set to lose €350,000 this year, the mood will be sombre to say the least. But how will these farmers survive next year and beyond if things don't change? Mullingar woman Emer McCrum will join me later to discuss this and the upcoming conference. Tierlawn announced their 2022 grain prices last week, and we'll be going through those this evening, as well as the call for more growers of gluten-free oats. Now, did you know that all oats are in fact gluten-free, but they become contaminated when processed by machinery that has harvested wheat or barley? So if you become a Tierlawn supplier, everything from the combine to the trailer will be supplied by them to ensure the oats do not mix with other grains and remain gluten-free. We'll chat about this with Donal Maloney from the company in a few moments. Now, text me as always here on 083 30 10 103, and I'm going to start off this evening with Martin Coughlin from the Farming Independent on the topic of beef. Martin, thanks for joining me, and it's been a while since I was speaking to you last, so you're welcome back to the programme.
Thank you very much. I understand you were on holidays.
Well, between I was off a few weeks in August, Martin, and busy here with the ploughing and whatnot the last couple of weeks, so we're getting back into the swing of it now. Starting, as I said, on the beef side of things, look, as I said, at the ploughing, the mood was especially low among farmers when I was speaking to them at the ploughing championships. I spoke to many over the course of the day. It's as low as I would say I've probably ever seen it among beef farmers. Are you sensing the same from the cattle trade, or are the specialised finishers a little bit more optimistic?
There is a great level of confidence, believe it or not, if you look at the MAT returns at the moment as to how prices are performing. Particularly, I did a piece on the better quality cattle. Where are farmers spending their money? They are in a good while working over the figures. Now, obviously, because of pressure of space, not everything could get into the paper. But what was very, very apparent was that your better quality continental limousine is up, by comparison with this time last year, about €180 a head. Now your Hereford and Angus is up maybe 60 to 120, and your better Friesian is up maybe €80 a head. However, what is very, very marked is that the poorer quality, and we're talking here the bottom quarter of the market in relation to Hereford and Angus and Friesian, are really no stronger than about 4 to 5 cents a kilo, right, across the, more or less across the board. Okay, it might be slightly different when you go into the 600 kilo animal, because a share of those will be bought for slaughter and that. But your store Hereford and Angus, those poorer quality animals, are really no better than what they were this time last year. Whereas your lesser quality Limousine or Charlotte could be up 100 to 120 ahead. So it's very clear where the farmers are deciding they're going to invest their money. They're going to invest them in those animals that will give a greater return, you know, for the silage that is going to be fed, given the cost of it, for the meal that might be going to be fed, given the cost of it as well. Whereas they're basically saying that those people who are producing those lesser quality on the dairy side, particular animals, we're not going to give you any more because they're going to cost us too much to actually feed over the next 3, 4, however long the winter is going to last before you put them to grass.
And they are the squeezed middle, if you will. They're the beef farmers who are really scratching their heads at the moment, Martin, because with meal prices the way they are and with fertiliser prices the way they are and with stock prices not in any way going to commensurate for those increase in inputs, they really don't know where to turn.
Well, they don't know where to turn, but I mean, these animals are, a lot of the animals I'm talking about are produced, they're not necessarily all produced out of the dairy herd, but an awful lot of them are produced out of the dairy herd. And it is the dairy sector who will be unloading those animals onto the market. Granted, some of them might have been bought as calves from the dairy sector by specialised calf to store particular men. But like the reality of where the market is now being reflected in those particular prices, and the fact that the uncertainty around how long the winter is going to be. If we knew the winter was only going to be 3 or 4 months long, maybe the thing would be a little bit different. But if we get a hard winter, like it's hard to see what those people who are actually buying, like when they do their sums, like they have to put some bit of fat into the system as regards being able to pay the costs of the silage and being able to carry the animals that particular over that particular length of time. But the other point about it is, I said there is confidence in the trade when you see the amount of money that has been paid by specialised finishers for cattle that are actually good enough. I mean, €3 a kilo and €3 plus, like on the Wainland side, like it's gone to the stage now that I said this not this week but last week, for some of those better, we'll say, sales that are going on of the really good animals, the target before used to be like €3, €3.30. The reality is now is that a lot of those better Wainlands are starting at €3 and they're finishing at €4 and maybe above it. So
it's quality, like quality, really at the moment, Martin. Isn't
quality,
it?
Yeah, it is a case. The world is an uncertain place with everything that is actually going on. And if you're going to invest money, you're going to try and invest it in something that you know, even if the worst comes to the worst and you have to sell them, they will hold their value. And that's what a lot of it is. I believe that's what a lot of it is driving, a certain amount of security, a belief in security in what the people are buying.
And factory prices at the moment, Martin, we're looking in, according to your article yesterday, heifers in around 465, steers roughly the same, 460, 465. Nothing to light the world on fire with those prices.
No, there's not. Like the 465, like the end of last week, right, there was cattle being killed, bullocks being killed at 465, heifers 465, 470, maybe an odd share of shake of bullocks going at 470 as well. But the reality was that coming into this week, the factories were quoting 460 for both, and you might be doing well to be getting in some respects 465 depending on what you are actually selling. And the reality here is the numbers have come, and they have been increasing. And well, they've held at about 38,000 for about 3 weeks now, and like that is a fairly seriously big kill. This time last year the kill was only 35,000, but the price at that stage was back around, I think, 415 a kilo, that sort of a way. So the money, like we're getting more money, and we're killing more cattle, which is the point that I was making in the last couple of weeks, you know. So if you have good cattle and they're ticking the boxes, like as far as quality assurance is concerned and all that, and maybe they're going up a little bit in the grades, like you are getting probably up around 460, 470, €5 a kilo, and maybe a little bit better on occasion. There's nothing wrong with that. But that is only consummate down to the situation of those better cattle. I wrote a piece last week that one of the great things I regret this year that didn't happen was that the farm organisations, when the factories were like basically suspended the grid, that the farm organisations didn't go and say, look, we now know the reality of the marketplace. The marketplace will take these. The grid is not essential to it. Can we not get flat pricing to run alongside both of, like, alongside of the grid as well, so that those people with cattle that, you know, they're all quality, sure, but maybe they don't quite make it into the boxes that you'd like to make it into, would have something more to get out of the system. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. And look, those are decisions people make. I suppose the farm organisations looking at it, why rock the boat when everybody was happy enough at the time? But you should be really looking further down the road.
Yeah, 100%. Martin, I'm going to say many thanks for joining me this evening. Great roundup there, and we'll talk to you again. Martin Coughlin from the Farming Independent. And as Martin was saying, look, at that time when the factories were mad for cattle, there was no grid, absolutely no grid. There's no such thing as cattle being overage or overweight or having too much coming straight out of a shed, being dirty, anything like that. No issues at all. There never is when the market is hungry. And then when they're not so hungry, all those things start coming back into play again. We're well used to it at this stage, going on years and years, and it's not going to change, I can't imagine. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about sheep with the chairman of the IFA Sheep Committee, Kevin Comiskey. We're going to be talking about wool and what can be done to increase its value, looking over at what they've done in the UK. And we're also going to have a word on the sheep trade, so stay tuned for that.
Country Life on Midlands 103, brought to you by W. Orshaw, Burlington Business Park, Tullamore, your main supplier of New Holland tractors in the Midlands, worshaw.ie.
And you're welcome back to Country Life here on Midlands 103. Now we are moving on to sheep, and we have Kevin Comiskey from the IFA on the line. Kevin, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
Thank you, MJ. Thanks.
Kevin, we're going to speak about wool and what could possibly be done to increase its value in a moment. But before we do, just the sheep trade. We're looking at lamb prices in around at €6, €6.10 with quality assurance at the moment. Given the price of concentrates and also price of silage this year with fertiliser, sheep farmers would like a lot more, I'm guessing.
Indeed, they would, MJ. Yes, it's totally unacceptable, the prices that they're getting at the minute. They're hoovering, as I said before, around the same prices last year. We're the only product that we're seeing the same, you know, the same price, and we have the huge input costs, the same as any other sector. So the factories has to step up to the mark and give us more price for our product, because if they don't, they'll always talk to us about supply and demand, but whatever about demand in the future, I can tell them that supply will be limited, because farmers can't continue at this if they don't get an increase.
Yeah, morale is low. I was talking to Martin Cochlinus before the break. Morale is low in definitely in the store trade in beef. There's no question about it. Morale is low in sheep farming as well. Breeding sheep are taking a hit. There doesn't seem to be much confidence out there for people continuing with the same numbers as the last couple of years.
No, that's true. That's quite true. And I see it right across the marts there. A lot of breeding sheep being sold. The price is down on them. A lot of reduction sales going on. And that's getting a lot of calls on that. Min is reducing their numbers. One man told me there recently that he wasn't going to give him 10 lambs for the price of a ton of protected urea. So a reduction sale was imminent. And that's what he was doing.
Yeah, and can't be argued against, Kevin. Sure can't, in reality. Sure, they're the figures and you can't argue with them, and bills have to be paid. And if you don't make it from the sheep, where you know what I mean, your stock, what are you going to do? So it's where it's at the moment, sad to say.
It is sad to say, and look, we all, everything even is down as low, when filling your Jeep with diesel, €80, €90 probably filled a Jeep this time last year. You're talking 150, 60 at the minute. Right across the board, and even when you come into the house, farmers has to turn on the light bulb the same as every other person. So we're seeing increases right across the board, and they won't be able to stick it and can't stick it.
And moving on, Kevin, I agree totally. Moving on, just on the area of wool, and we know on the programme here over the last couple of years, featured it many times, how wool is essentially worthless at the moment, and the last couple of years it has, won't cover the cost of shearing. Minister Hackett had a survey commissioned a number of months ago to the tune of €100,000, and you feel, Kevin, that it essentially just told us what we already know and not much has been done thereafter.
No, and definitely it hasn't. Nothing like there's a whole collapse in the world trade recently and in the last year, couple of years. But this report was commissioned, and the minister was on about it for hid behind it for 2 years, waiting for it to be done. And when it comes out and published, it tells us nothing that we didn't know already, and complete silence on it since. You know, she has done nothing for us on the whole end of it since. I went recently there over to Bradford, some colleagues and myself went over to the wool washing plant over there and seen the grading plant. And indeed, British Wool has done a lot there to maximise the value, even though it's not huge value at the minute over there, not as good as 2016 levels, but at least it's a good bit more than we're getting here. And they've maximised and branded it, you know, and that's something that could be done and replicated here.
Yeah, so they have this British Wool brand, and that's going into high-value products. Say, you were saying 2016 they were getting good money. What were they getting for their wool in 2016, Kevin?
They'd have been, a whole range of prices. They were getting up to £2 a kilo, you know, a difference. At the minute over there, it's about from 40, a bit difference on the grade of the wool, but you have from 40 pence up to a pound. And then you have Blue Leicester wool, what they were sewn off, the Blue Leicester yoke, up to £6 now. I know there wouldn't be a big quantity of wool on that type of sheep, but for the grade or the specific type that it is, whatever they use it for, but it's a significant price for that.
Yeah, and then we're looking at an Irish price at the moment. Of where are we at the moment, this season's wool?
In around 20 cent for crossbred wool and the hardened wool, and that is just hardly making anything. It's hardly worth, none of it is worth definitely, you know, hardly bringing the diesel that it'll cost to bring to the merchant.
And if you were to go into a shop and buy a jumper that was 100% wool, you definitely wouldn't be talking about 20 cent a kilo. You'd be talking €100 or €120 for a garment. So I suppose your point is set up this branding of Irish wool like they have in the UK and go from there, add value to it from the ground up and create a brand and a market for it.
That's indeed, and indeed the in the study that was done recently, there was mention of a sheep working group, so that needs to be set up for the industry straight away to get something and recommendations in for what we're speaking about. But in the meantime, and the Minister Pippa Hackett and indeed the Minister for Agriculture, you know, they didn't optimise the potential that they could give in the sheep improvement scheme. They could have given us a payment in the cap for that, and subsequently in the budget, the let down sheep farmers badly in both those situations. And we're calling on them now to step up on the to the plate and give a fund in there for the sheep farmers for the wool.
Lovely, Kevin. And sheep farmers are definitely united in that cause. Kevin, I'm going to say many thanks for joining me this evening on the programme, and we will speak to you again.
Thanks very much, MJ.
Kevin Comiskey there from the IFA. And the mood is low in sheep farming also. There's no point saying any different. Roughly the same prices this time last year. And sheep farmers are exiting by their droves at the moment. I know by speaking to farmers that is the general consensus among them. And on the wool end of things, it does seem to be a little strange that wool is essentially valueless when wool garments are at the level they're at. Creating a brand of Irish wool seems very straightforward, and there is lots of different grades, as they say, in wool. But I know the Galway yo has always known to be a fantastic animal for providing wool for garments. And then you have all these other areas such as insulation. There was also, we had someone on the programme back a couple of years ago talking about making wool into pellets that could be burned in a wood-burning stove or a pellet-burning stove. So there's all these different areas that tie in with the environment. It's a natural product as well, natural fibres. And the fact that it's not worth shearing a yo at the moment, just it kind of beggars belief, really, considering what's happening in the world pollution-wise and all this fast fashion. All these clothes have been made out of polyester and viscose, and the amount of water it takes to create these products, they're being sold for next to nothing, creating massive carbon footprints, and not a word about them, but agriculture is on the chopping block all the time about the carbon footprint and the emissions that we create in the industry, and yet we are feeding people, and these fast fashion industries are only clogging up bins, really. People wearing the clothes once or twice, throwing them away, and there's wool, natural product, ready to roll, and nothing being done about it. Now, just the Farmers Journal popped in here, and I see tomorrow's headline. The headline is "Plan to Rewet Farmland Blasted as a Land Grab." So there's a plan to rewet farmland, up to 200,000 hectares is planned by 2050. And of course, look, not really going to be the land of the Midlands. Well, in fairness, look, there will be some bog and some hill ground, but more, I suppose, in the likes of Connacht, where the Hill Farmers Association, I should say, are. And I know they are up in arms about this. There is also winter finishers look to set to lose €400 a head. Adam Woods, who regularly contributes to the programme here, has a piece tomorrow. The current price is almost exactly €1 a kilo off where it needs to be. So they have the figures done up on finishing a 400 kilo carcass. Winter finishers set to lose 400 a head. That's at a base price of 465. Didn't think it'd be that figure, but I know at definitely under €5 a kilo, there would not be anything to be made out of an animal given the input prices at the moment and the cost of concentrate. But that's the figure the Journal are putting on it. So no more than the sheep farmers. There's not going to be too many people finishing cattle. They might do it this year. Won't be doing it next year if that continues. And they are the two main stories on tomorrow's Farmers Journal. Now I'm going to go to a break, and coming up after, we're going to be talking about grain prices, which Tirlán are paying for 2022 harvest, and also Teagasc have their national pig conference next week, and we're going to be hearing about that, so stay tuned.
Country Life with MJ Cleary on Midlands 103.
And you're very welcome back to Country Life here on Midlands 103. Now, we have Donal Maloney from Tirlán on the line, and we're going to be talking about grain prices and gluten-free oats. Donal, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
No problem, MJ. Thanks for having me on.
You're more than welcome, Donal. Now, first things first, when you were rebranding as Tirlán, Donal, did you end up getting maybe a little bracelet on your arm that gave you an electric shock if you said Glanbia by mistake, or how did they train you in? Because you must have been 20 odd years saying Glanbia, and now it's nothing but Tirlán. Has it been a tough transition to just say the rebranding word, or what was the thought process?
Look, I suppose it takes a bit of getting used to it. If the electric shock treatment was working, I'd be
yeah, it worked the trees, like training a dog into the surrounds of a house. But it is Tirlán now, and we're getting used to it, Donal. And you announced your grain prices last week, and I suppose, look, the main one, feed barley, coming in at €310 a ton. How did that compare on last year, Donal?
Yeah, last year's price all in was €210 a tonne, so I suppose you're approximately 50% increase, which is reflective of what the markets have done in the last year, and particularly, I suppose, the last 6 months. And again, particularly, I suppose, since the end of February, since the Russian invasion of Ukraine, that's when markets really took off. And prices were probably stronger, maybe even in April and May, and we offered some very strong forward prices at that stage, up to 345, I think, for barley, green barley, and 360 for wheat. And markets maybe come back a little bit since then. But look, they're very strong prices, and I think a majority of people will be quite happy with prices paid last week.
Yeah, well, we deal with farmers, and talking about farmers and being happy with income is a sentence you don't use too often. So I suppose farmers are going to be adequately happy. That'd be fair. They're never going to ring you and say thanks a million now at prices. However, as you say, it's indicative of the market and indicative of the increase in input costs. And farmers in general, then, look, if you're not involved in tillage, you're going to be looking at tillage prices, and you're going to be saying to yourself, OK, it's going to have a knock-on effect on concentrate prices. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. We want tillage farmers to do as well as they can, but then beef, sheep farmers, dairy farmers are going to be looking at the price of concentrates. So I suppose realistically for back end of 2022, 2023, we're not going to see anything coming back concentrate-wise. It's going to be staying minimally where it is, I'm guessing.
Oh, I would think so, yeah. And I suppose you know, if you look at concentrate price at the moment, they're generally in the region of 400 euros per tonne or over that. It's not just grain prices, I suppose, that have increased substantially over the past year. It's other ingredients as well, like proteins and fibres and that. So all commodities, I suppose, have risen substantially in the last year. The other thing, I suppose, is that, you know, compounders and feed manufacturers would have had certain levels of cover over the last year, which possibly, depending on your own on individual millers and compounder situations, maybe that cover has run out now or is going to run out. So, yeah, it certainly is hard to see prices come back in the medium, short to medium term, at least anyway. That's probably going to have a negative impact on demand to some extent. I suppose there's a limit to what people can afford to pay. But, but I suppose, look, that's the vagaries of the market, and I suppose what works for one maybe doesn't work for the other player in the market. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're talking about gluten-free oats as well. You're putting a call out that you want more people to grow gluten-free oats, and as I was saying to our listeners earlier in the programme at the start, so all oats are actually gluten-free, but it's just they get contaminated when it comes to the processing of them. So how do you ensure, if a farmer rings you and say, listen, I'm interested in growing oats or gluten-free oats, what's the process, Donald? How do you keep them gluten-free?
Yeah, I suppose that's an important point, MJ. The oats that we ask people to grow under the gluten-free banner are the very same oats as people would be growing normally, same varieties, Isabel and Husky. The two varieties we have, it's the process, I suppose, that's different, and the process is trying to ensure that there's absolutely no contamination with wheat or barley. So eligible fields are those which you know, have had a non-cereal break crop like maize, beet, potatoes, or grass, so it can't be grown after a cereal crop. The other thing is, you know, we inspect the drill pre-sowing to make sure it's been cleaned down and there's, again, no residue of wheat or barley from a preceding sowing. And we harvest the crop then and transport the grain at harvest time. We harvest with a combine that's dedicated to harvesting gluten-free oats. So it's all about keeping wheat and barley out of the oats crop. And that's, I suppose, it makes for a very robust supply chain, and we're unique in that, I suppose, on a worldwide basis. There's very few people producing gluten-free oats the way we do, and a lot of them are produced by mechanically sorting, which is just sorting ordinary oats using optical sorters and taking out any gluten. But we're doing it from the seed right through the field production and through to the mill. So it's a unique process in that effect. So yes, we're looking for new growers. We've had very positive developments lately on the sales side, and so we're looking for anybody that would have eligible land. And
what's the what catchment area roughly are you talking, Donald, or does it matter?
I suppose at this stage, you know, we're looking at our own catchment area, which is you know, Leinster and East Munster. Look, within that, I suppose it has to make sense because we're transporting combines and providing the transport back to our assembly point is near as high in Kildare. So we would need a critical mass in any area. But look, if somebody's interested, they should contact their Glanmuir representative or myself. And
lots of possibilities there in Leash and Offaly, I'd be guessing, Donald.
Absolutely, yeah. Like any, say, if you take a 100-kilometre radius of a tie, really, that covers quite a lot of Midland counties, and there.
Yeah, and I'm sure if people are interested and they call into their local Country Life store, they'll get details on your number, or if they leave in their number, it'll be they'll be contacted back or whatnot. It's probably one of the most straightforward ways of doing it.
And important to find out, I suppose, it's a very profitable crop. Just doing some figures on it, like we pay 30 euros a ton over base wheat price, so an average crop of winter oats doing 3.5 ton per acre would be equivalent to about a 5.1 crop of winter wheat in terms of return or margin. So well worth considering.
Yeah, very good. We will leave it at that. Donal, I say many thanks for joining me this evening on the programme and giving us all that that info, and we'll chat to you again.
No problem. Thanks, MJ.
Donal Maloney there from Tirlán. And now I'm going to move on to pigs. It is the Chagas National Pig Conference, and I have Westmead woman Eimear McCrum on the line. Eimear, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
No problem, MJ. Thank you very much for having me on, and good evening to you and your listeners.
Eimear, listen, we had a colleague of yours last week, Kevin Comiskey, on, and he had the income survey for 2022, well, a kind of an interim report. And there was good news for dairy farmers, not so much good news for other producers, but pig farmers were on the far end of the spectrum. Really was a tale of two cities, showing an average loss of €350,000 in 2022. And I think everyone in agriculture is feeling for the pig producer at the moment, because these are huge, huge, huge losses. So, look, there's no point in saying otherwise. It's going to be an event next week where the mood is going to be low, to say the least.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, any of the reports, either the outlooks or the reviews, really don't make for pleasant reading, but such is the situation. And the mood isn't great, but the one thing I will say about pig farmers is they are incredibly resilient. They're well used to and well seasoned to the volatility and price fluctuations that is basically hand in hand and part and parcel of pig production. The one thing I will say, however, is what we've experienced the last 14 months in the sector is the worst in living memory, and it really has been unprecedented. So it's an incredibly challenging period for producers. Everyone across the scale, regardless of the farm size, has been affected with this. It has really been enormous, and it is a challenge. It really is a challenge. At the moment where we stand, it is still a loss-making situation, albeit smaller than what it was earlier in the year. It still remains loss-making, and that in itself is an enormous challenge. So at the moment, it's back to about €10,000, and thereabouts a month for your average 600 cell unit. But that is still an incredible loss to be trying to balance, given the losses that have been incurred to date over the previous 14 months.
Yeah, and we have to give credit where credit's due to the government. We give out about them a lot, but there was that payment of 100,000 a number of months ago, and I believe an additional payment on that as well. So look, in fairness, they are aware of it and doing something.
Absolutely, and it's very important to acknowledge that, and the government support was massively welcomed. There was a 20,000 payment earlier in the springtime and more recently a €100,000 payment. Now, there's various levels depending on the size of the farm and the numbers of pigs produced, but both of those are the maximum payments under the scheme. It really did give farmers an enormous boost, most definitely, but it is important to say that even on the losses that we've talked about already, it doesn't cover the whole lot. The farmer and the business is still shouldering the majority of the losses, but it is welcomed.
And Eimear, will a majority of pig farmers, will they fall in for that ESB grant with prices going over 50%? Will that work for pig producers, or are they...
Yeah. They will, hopefully. It will depend, I suppose, on where they are in terms of contracts. There are still that, luckily enough, are in cover, and others maybe that would have signed up earlier this year and mightn't be quite just exposed at the current levels. But nonetheless, it still has gone up dramatically on farms. It's an enormous cost. In addition to all the feed costs and the various other input costs that have risen, electricity really stands out as being quite a significant increase that almost came out of nowhere. It was one of those ones that crept up on us, I suppose. But absolutely, once the terms and conditions of that scheme becomes a bit more clear, we'll be able to advise further. But it does look like farmers will be able to apply for that and to receive some funding under it.
And finally, Eimear, before I let you go, look, your conference is on next week. It's Tuesday down in Cavan, up in Cavan, I should say, and it is also in Horse and Jockey in Tip. Both events are on 2 to 6. And look, despite the loss-making industry, you're still involved in it. And as you say, pig farmers have dealt with up and downs over the years. So you're going to have a number of speakers, and you're going to still be advising people on what they can do inside their farm gate and how they can cut costs, albeit with the massive challenges that are out there. And I suppose, look, realistically, it's kind of best foot forward. Like, what else can you really do other than advise best practice at the moment? And fingers crossed something changes in the not-too-distant future.
Absolutely, and I think the majority of the papers that we pulled together this year, they are reflective of the topical issues that are affecting farmers. And there is a mix of, I suppose, the financial side of it, the outlooks, but there is also, as you say, the practical on-farm husbandry bits and pieces that farmers can go home and implement pretty much overnight and get quantifiable effective results from it. So it is a nice mix of topics and speakers that are there. And we do hope for a good attendance next week in the two venues, in Cavan and down in Tipperary as well.
Yeah, very good. Well, Eimear, wish you all the best for it. Many thanks for joining me this evening here on the programme.
No problem, MJ. Thanks very much for having me on.
More than welcome. And that was Emer McCrome, I should say, from Chagas. And those events are on next week, Tuesday, 18th of October, in both Cavan and Horse and Jockey in Tip. They're being ran simultaneously, 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. And yeah, look, it's going to be a somber event in both of those venues, no question about it, with the kind of losses there are at the moment. But in fairness, it's a reasonable point by Emer. Pig farmers have dealt with serious increases in losses over the years, but just this one is the worst in living memory. So I know from everyone involved in agriculture, we all hope that things improve for pig producers in the not too distant future. Now, coming up after the break, we're going to be talking to Offaly man Tomás Russell. He's working with UCD and he's just involved in a study on mental health in agriculture, which came back with stark findings that 23.4%, just under 25% of farmers are considered at risk for suicide. And government policy in relation to reducing climate change is one of the biggest factors for that. So we're going to hear more about that in just a moment.
Country Life on Midlands 103. Brought to you by W. Orshaw, Burlington Business Park, Tullamore. Your main supplier of New Holland tractors in the Midlands. WORshaw.ie.
And you're very welcome back to Country Life here on Midlands 103. Now, I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Offaly man and Tomás Russell. Tomás, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
No problem, and thanks for having me on, MJ.
So, Tomás, you're an Offaly man. You're farming here just outside Tullamore, the Blue Ball, and you're also working in UCD. You were involved in a recent study in relation to agriculture and farmers in particular. Can you give us a little bit of background to it? What was it about, please, Tomás?
Yes, so the HSE National Office for Suicide Prevention had identified farmers at a risk group for sort of mental health and suicide. So they had a funding call out and we applied for that funding call, myself and the School of Agriculture and Food Science and the School of Psychology. And the project that we set up was really looking at identifying the risk factors for suicide among farmers and then to look at if we could develop suitable interventions to prevent suicide among farmers. So it was a year-long study, which has just actually been completed there last week.
And the headline figure is a very stark one, Tomás. The survey showed 23.4% of farmers were considered at risk for suicide. That must have shocked you. It shocked me when I saw it anyway.
Yeah, very scary figure now. But surprisingly, I suppose we've been showcasing some of the results on social media even recently, and the feedback from most people, and I'd agree with it, is saying stark figures, but not surprising. So I think to date there's been a lot of anecdotal evidence that there is a severe mental health crisis among the farm population, but actually there's been very little evidence to back it up. So I think this is one of the first studies that actually puts a figure on that. So very stark, but actually not as surprising as we might think.
And then when we talk about this, there's obviously reasons for it, and the participants rated the reasons as for this high risk of suicide and also the level of depression. And unsurprisingly, I would say, government policies designed to reduce climate change came in as a big one. And there's really no surprise there when you see that written down in front of you. The amount of things that have been brought in over the last couple of years for agriculture really is getting in on people. We have the facts are in front of us now, and your study shows it.
Yeah, and it's not so much even an issue with the policy themselves. It's the fact that farmers haven't been involved in them. Like a lot of the interviews and focus groups we would have done with farmers, the term that's come out a lot is scapegoated. So farmers are really feeling scapegoated, particularly on the debate around climate change, but also that a lot of these climate change policies are just being forced on farmers. It's like the stick approach when it comes to policy without them having any sort of insight or any sort of involvement in the development of these policies. So again, I suppose not surprising, and particularly I suppose over the last few months where we've seen the debate over climate change and carbon targets that this has come up.
We're also looking as well at outsiders not understanding farming coming in as one of the stressors. And that is an interesting one. But again, as we say with this report, when you look at it in the cold light of day, probably not surprising.
No, not surprising at all. And I suppose there's two elements to that we can see, again, sort of from the qualitative data, that farmers feel they're really doing as much as they can in terms of climate change and biodiversity. But again, maybe unrepresented in the media in some parts where they feel that the population doesn't really understand farmers and doesn't understand that the work that they are doing on farm to try and promote biodiversity and also address climate change. So yeah, it's coming into this insider-outsider view. And again, it feeds back into that word scapegoated, that farmers are really feeling scapegoated and that they're the villains when it comes to the climate change. And we all know, like, generally farmers will always try to do the best. There's this term we use, the good farmer identity, where generally farmers, you know, they always work hard to do their best and follow the procedures and policies that's there. So I think when the media is up against them, particularly around that climate change debate, you can see how it's having such an impact on stress and their mental health.
Yeah, and another area which is one of the stressors, concern over the future of the farm, is a big one also. And again, unsurprising given the age profile of farmers in the country, a lot of them with no viable successors. And this is a big thing, it's on their minds.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's huge issues, again, over that succession issue. But we would have seen, again, from some of the interviews and focus groups, farmers just talking about land on the mind, that, you know, farmers, to an extent, it can be a very isolating profession. But again, a lot of people that's farming will know farming is a vocation. So it's, you know, they live on the farm, they work on the farm. So all day, every day, land is on the mind and they're just thinking about the farm. And if there is something that threatens that, whether it is around succession or whether it is the government policies on climate change, it is going to have a huge impact on a farmer's mental health, again, because it's, I suppose, it's impacting on their way of life and their profession. And interestingly as well, some of the results that we got showed that the higher level of attachment that farmers have, the lesser their mental well-being will be. So there's a huge connection, again, between sort of mental health and that attachment to land.
We're talking about all the background of it, Tomás, and for anyone who's listening this evening and who is in any of these categories or who isn't feeling great themselves, there are interventions, there are initiatives and there are places to turn. I know MOCRA have their On Firm Ground programme, and also Chagas, our advisors, are also being trained as to spot issues in relation to mental health and to be able to point people in the right direction should they need help.
Yeah, absolutely. There's loads of support out there at the minute. And this is actually Ag Mental Health Week. So there's a lot going on in the media and social media as well around building awareness around the issues around farmer mental health, but also identifying that there is lots of supports out there for farmers. And again, the Chagas advisors and people working within the industry, the Samaritans, there is a huge amount of support out there. So, you know, for people who are in trouble, it is really important that they talk, whether it's talking to their family members, talking to their friends, talking to their colleagues, or picking up the phone and ringing one of those services.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the really important one. Just finally, Tomás, how many people did you survey for this report?
Yes, we had 256 farmers who were part of the survey. There was also focus groups and interviews, so interviews with 10 farmers and 4 focus groups of both farmers and professionals working with farmers. And again, a really good spread between male and female, and they ranged in age between 21 to 70, so really covered the whole demographic of farmers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So very, very accurate findings. I'm going to say many thanks for joining me this evening, Tomás. It's great to shine a light on this area and to show exactly where things are at in agriculture. So well done on it, and no doubt I'll be speaking to you again on the programme here at some stage.
That's great. Thanks very much, Andrew.
And that was Tomás Russell there from UCD, Offaly Man. And that survey does show some stark findings. So look, if you are a farmer who is depressed or not feeling great, there are many places you can turn. Don't ever feel like you're on your own. As Tomás said, you can talk to your local advisor, ring the Samaritans. If you're a member of MOCRA, talk to your committee. You can also, if you're maybe a little bit older and you're not involved in any of those organisations, you don't have a farm advisor, just to go to your local GP is a good starting point, and let him or her put you in the right direction. But you're never on your own. That is the most important thing in relation to that. And that is it for this evening's programme. I'd like to thank all of my guests, Tomás Russell there from UCD, Eimear McCrum from Chagas, talked about the pig conference which is taking place next week, Donal Maloney from Tyrlán, And they're looking for those gluten-free oats suppliers in and around the Midlands. Kevin Comiskey from the IFA, who's given out about the low wool prices and how Minister Hackett hasn't done anything in relation to that feasibility survey. And Martin Coughlin from the Farming Independent join me at the start of the hour. The show is available on all of your podcast platforms. If you type MJ space Cleary, C-L-E-R-Y into it, we will pop up and you can listen at your leisure. We're repeated on Sunday morning at 7 a.m. and I will be back with you this time next week at 7 p.m. as always. So good night, God bless.